Our first reading this morning comes in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within their gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. This reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus as Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For he who lives are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The Gospel of Mark, parts of chapters 2 and 3. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what King David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat? And also he gave it to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, these two short stories that we just read address a problem that affects all of American Christianity. It distracts our focus away from Christ and what he's done for us, and places our focus on what is trivial and meaningless. The problem is the confusion of law and gospel. And maybe some of you have heard that phrase. But what is the confusion of law and gospel? Well, let me explain by going to another incident, also found here in the Gospel of Mark, and then we'll return to our gospel reading today. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus and his disciples were just setting out on a journey when a young man ran up to Jesus, knelt before him, and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, Jesus had a strange response. The first thing he said is, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And then Jesus said, "You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And the young man said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come. Follow me." Well, the young man walked away, disheartened and sorrowful, because he had many possessions. Well, the disciples who were standing around watching and listening to all of this were stunned. And when Jesus said how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God, that left the disciples flabbergasted, even afraid. "Well, then who can be saved?" they asked him. Great question. Who can be saved? "With man it is impossible," said Jesus, "but not with God." In other words, even the best among us is incapable of saving him or herself. Every one of us needs a Savior. And the point is, no one can keep God's law. No one can earn his way to heaven. Not even you. And certainly not me. And here's why. No one is good but God alone. So Jesus is telling us something here, and frankly, he's telling us something that we do not like at all. In fact, it's a point that many of us rebel against and resist. And the point is that you are completely dependent on Jesus for forgiveness, for salvation, for life. No one is good but God alone. Theologian Chad Bird puts it pretty bluntly, commenting on the ups and downs of life, commenting on the consequences of our own sinfulness. He says, "In the difficulties and despair we all face, God is not making us stronger. He's making us dead. Dead in order that we might truly live in the strength that He provides. He's not making us better people, but instead He's unveiling how bad we are, that we may find in Christ the riches of our Father's goodness." That's the function of the law. It unveils how bad we are because we can't keep the law. And you know, that whole idea that we can't keep the law is offensive to us. We hate the idea that we're dead in our trespasses and sins, or that we're bad. We hate that. We'd much rather hear that we're getting better and better every day in every way. But again, here's the issue. The law cannot save you. In fact, it condemns you because you can't keep it. So don't try to use the law to accomplish what only the gospel can accomplish. Don't confuse law and gospel. Well, what is the law and what's the gospel? Maybe we ought to back up. In Scripture, you find the law in the imperatives. Do this. Don't do that. That includes the Ten Commandments, but plenty of other verses too. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. How you doing with that one? Love one another. How you doing with that one? Take up your cross and follow me. All those things that we don't do, all of that is law. Examples of gospel verses are, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is the gift of God. Or, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Or Jesus on the cross saying, it is finished. All these gospel verses describe what Christ has done for you. Law and gospel are confused when the law is treated as something you do in order to earn God's favor. You know, the great thinkers of the Reformation recognized the impossibility of keeping the law, and they understood the law as something Christ has done, Christ has fulfilled on our behalf. As the great church father Augustine said in the 4th century, what God demands, God provides through Christ. You know, this dates me a little bit, maybe some of you too. But over 25 years ago now, Dana Carvey, on the comedy TV show Saturday Night Live, introduced a character on that show named Enid Strict, better known as the Church Lady. The Church Lady was most famous for ending her skits by performing the Superior Dance. Enid Strict would fit right in with the Pharisees found in our gospel lesson today, who confused law and gospel by making slavish adherence to the law a litmus test for devotion to God, as if their willingness to keep the rules, even to the point of cruelty to others, was a virtue. And as if Jesus' willingness to feed his disciples and show mercy on the Sabbath day conflicted with the third commandment. You know, according to theologian Rod Rosenblatt, much of the reason that we Americans are inclined to confuse law and gospel is because our American church is saturated with the idea that Christianity is all about keeping the rules. And the goal of Christianity is to make you more moral. But actually, the goal of Christ is to rescue the immoral and redeem us who have broken the rules and find our lives painful and shattered as a result. That's why Jesus suffered and died for you. And that's great news for all of us, because all of us have broken the rules and failed in various ways. You know, it's my privilege to talk to a lot of people over the course of a typical week. And after a few years as a pastor, I'm still taken aback often at the suffering and sadness that so many of us quietly endure. That's why it's important that you be saturated in the knowledge of Christ's mercy and forgiveness toward you. It's important that you take time every now and then to soak in the waters of your baptism and know the depth of Jesus' love for you. Isaiah 42:3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out." For you who are bruised and whose flame is flickering, Jesus will never withhold from you what you need. Even on the Sabbath, especially on the Sabbath, this day was made for you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, both your law and your gospel. Lord, help us to not confuse the two, to recognize your law as what drives us to you for mercy and forgiveness, and to glory in the gospel of your goodness and mercy toward us. Lord, help both law and gospel to fill us with gratitude toward you and fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.